A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, "Get up and head south on the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, the desert route." So he got up and set out. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, that is, the queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury, who had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit said to Philip, "Go and join up with that chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, How can I unless someone instructs me?" So he invited Philip to get in and sit with him. This was the scripture passage he was reading. "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will tell of his prosperity? For his life is taken from the earth." Then the eunuch said to Philip in reply, "I beg you, about whom is the prophet saying this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture passage, he proclaimed Jesus to him. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there is water. What is to prevent me being baptized?" Then he ordered the chariot to stop, and Philip and the eunuch both went down into the water, and he baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but continued on his way, rejoicing. Philip came to Azotus and went about proclaiming the good news to all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Verbum Domini. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Bless our God, you peoples, loudly sound his praise. He has given life to our souls and has not let our feet slip. Let all the earth cry out to God. Hear now, all you who fear God, while I declare what he has done for me. When I appeal to him in words, praise was on the tip of my tongue. Blessed be God who refused me not, my prayer on his kindness. Let all the earth cry out to God with
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritus tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to the crowds, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world.
Verbum Domini.
Papal election is a blessed time in the Church wherein we renew our faith and trust in the working of the Holy Spirit, who always guides the Church through the best and through the worst of times. We rededicate ourselves to the mission given to the Church by her divine founder, and we renew our love and respect for the gift of the papacy, as well as for the one who occupies the Holy See, as it is a most cherished and exalted office in the Church. It is quite fitting that the conclave to elect a new pope coincides this year with the season of Easter, because we are focusing on the Acts of the Apostles during the first reading at Mass. The book of Acts traces the words and actions of the initial magisterium of the Church and shows how the Church not only survives severe persecutions, but even thrives amid them. Aflame with the light of the Holy Spirit from Pentecost, the apostles are sent forth to boldly proclaim the gospel message, a message of hope, love, joy, and freedom, to a world enslaved by the powers of sin, selfishness, and death. In the reading from Acts today, we are told that Philip is prompted by the angel of the Lord to go south on the road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. And notice that the angel does not specify precisely the destination for Philip, nor is he given a specific purpose for his mission. He is simply ordered to get up and head south on that desert route without further explanation. And if Philip had not been a good man filled with the Holy Spirit, we can imagine him having a laundry list of complaints. Why do I have to go walking out on a hot desert road? Where exactly am I heading? Why won't you tell me exactly what you want me to do? So you just want me to wander down this road aimlessly? And yet Philip demonstrates the purity of his faith and his simple trust in the Lord. Upon hearing the command of the angel, he does not utter a single word of complaint. He simply obeys. He goes where the angel has told him to go. And there's a lesson here about docility and detachment from our own preferences and comforts. Philip does not fear being uncomfortable or inconvenienced because his focus is on sharing the love of Christ through the work of evangelization. Although he does not yet know the reason he is being sent, he simply trusts the Lord and obeys the angel. When we are docile to the Holy Spirit, we become effective instruments of his will as we joyfully carry out whatever work he has in store for us. And as a reward for his obedience, Philip encounters an Ethiopian eunuch, a servant of the queen of the Ethiopians who is traveling along that same route. It was the willing docility of Philip that facilitated this encounter. If he had not been open to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, this eunuch might never have been exposed to the saving truth and power of Christ. He might have been left in his frustration with the Holy Scriptures and might never have found a way to understand what he was reading. The Holy Spirit prompts us Christians who have experienced the healing power of Christ to share with others our encounter with Christ so that we might impart to them the joy of the Lord. The eunuch is utterly incapable of understanding the scriptures until Philip instructs him. It is this authentic instruction that inspires him to request baptism. And once Philip baptizes the eunuch, the Spirit takes Philip to yet another location so that he does not remain idle in one place. As Jesus moved from town to town, proclaiming the gospel message, healing the sick, casting out demons, and raising the dead, so the disciples are called to go throughout all the towns and villages and proclaim the forgiveness and salvation of Christ to everyone who will listen to such a great message of hope. And with the Easter Vigil this year, I am blessed to have celebrated my 22nd anniversary of entering the Catholic Church. And the night that I became a Catholic, I was accompanied by five other catechumens who received baptism, including my younger brother and sister, and six candidates for confirmation, including my older sister. And when I think back to the time in my life prior to that vigil, I remember my own struggles with interpreting and understanding Scripture. I had been exposed to various interpretations that sometimes did not agree with one another. And since every interpretation was deficient in some respect, I found it impossible to discern the meaning of Scripture properly on my own. And as a young man in my late teens and early 20s, I had nearly reached the point of giving up on Christianity altogether. After all, how can you adhere to a religion that does not effectively articulate what it believes? I nearly lost hope of ever understanding the scriptures. Why would our Lord give us a Bible and then leave us without an official way to interpret it or to expound upon it? To me, it felt as if he had left us behind as orphans, to fend for ourselves and to find our own way. And then as I went through RCIA, now called OCIA, that process, I learned that the Catholic Church bases her teaching upon a sacred tradition that is the sacred deposit of faith that includes and is not limited to sacred scripture. The Catechism explains this in paragraph 84. The apostles entrusted the sacred deposit of the faith, the depositum fidei, contained in sacred scripture and tradition, to the whole of the church. By adhering to this heritage, the entire holy people, united to its pastors, remains always faithful to the teaching of the apostles, to the brotherhood, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. So in maintaining, practicing, and professing the faith that has been handed on, there should be a remarkable harmony between the bishops and the faithful. The entire church has access to this sacred deposit for the benefit of preserving the faith among its members and to proclaim the truth to those outside of the church, thus inspiring them towards faith. And it was also through my religious education and training that I learned about the gift of the magisterium, the Pope and the bishops united to him. I finally realized that Christ had not left us orphans after all. In his love for us, Christ has established this living teaching office to endure until the end of time. And as the Catechism teaches in paragraph 85, the task of giving an authentic interpretation of the Word of God, whether in its written form or in the form of tradition, has been entrusted to the living teaching office of the Church alone. Its authority in this matter is exercised in the name of Jesus Christ. This means that the task of interpretation has been entrusted to the bishops in communion with the successor of Peter, the Bishop of Rome. No longer must we be subjected to the changing winds of conflicting scriptural interpretations, the whims of individual scholars and theologians with an ideological agenda, or deficient biblical applications. We simply need to look to the magisterium for guidance at any given point in history. We are called to adopt the humble attitude of the Ethiopian eunuch, and even of Philip. But the Ethiopian eunuch relied not on his own deficient understanding of Scripture, but allowed the teaching office of the church to guide him safely to having faith in Jesus Christ. And finally, we are reassured by paragraph 86 of the Catechism, which says, "The magisterium is not superior to the Word of God, but is its servant. It teaches only what has been handed on to it. At the divine command, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, it listens to this devotedly, guards it with dedication, and expounds it faithfully. All that it proposes for belief as being divinely revealed is drawn from the single deposit of faith." So this helps us to trust that the magisterium is always guided by the help of the Holy Spirit in the exercise of its teaching office. Such an assurance helps us to live the next paragraph, which says, "Mindful of Christ's words to his apostles, he who hears you hears me. The faithful receive with docility the teachings and directives that their pastors give them in different forms." As a church, we are grateful for this gift of the magisterium, through which the Holy Spirit continues to guide the church to this teaching office, so that she might carry out her essential mission of evangelization. And through the magisterium, the Holy Spirit guides the faithful into the fullness of the truth in Jesus Christ.